The book is called Bicycling with Butterflies, and the subtitle gives you an idea. Just grab your, you know, wrap your head around this. My 10,201-mile journey following the monarch migration. We're talking to Sarah Dykeman, who has written this book and lived the adventure. Just before we even get into the people and the butterflies, give us an idea. Where did you start? Where did you finish? And how long did it take to do the 10,201 miles?
Well, I started my bicycle adventure in the forest of Michoacan, where the monarchs overwinter. That's in Mexico. And it's a really incredible spot to go because all the monarchs cluster together, and they'll actually get so concentrated on the branches that the branches will bend and sometimes even break from their weight.
Wow.
And in March, when the monarchs kind of start gearing up for their spring migration, I got on my bicycle, and together we went north. We traveled to Texas, and then in Texas, the monarchs really spread out. So people always ask, how do you know where to go? Well, in Texas, they spread out, and as long as I was on a road in Texas in April, I was on the route of the migration. And then I headed all the way up to Canada, where the monarch, or I could have probably just turned around and gone back, but I really wanted to see the East Coast, so I made a big loop to the East Coast before heading back to the Midwest and then back down through Texas and to the overwintering grounds in Mexico once again. 10,201 miles, and it took 8.5 months.
What spurred this? I mean, you have, as your book talks about, done some other long bike rides. You've toured 49 states. You did one from South America to Texas. But what spurred you to follow the monarchs?
Well, first I learned that the monarch population is in serious decline. We've lost about 90% in the last 20 years due mostly to habitat loss and climate change. And so I was thinking, how can my next adventure not just benefit me, but how can it benefit the planet that I love? And the more I learned about the monarchs, the more I realized they were the perfect traveling companions. They go about the same distance that I can go. They spread out across the country. And one of the things I love most about them is that they visit everyone. Like, I didn't have to, on a bike tour, only go to the most remote, beautiful, untouched, most perfect places. I could, like, literally see monarchs in New York City, or I could see them in some farmland in Iowa. Everyone can help the monarch, and by biking with them, I was able to discover that.
You, as I think the book points out, that you were averaging, what, about 50 or 60 miles a day, and you called your bike, what, Frankenstein?
And I describe my bike as a bit of a Frankenstein bike because it's just thrown together from a bunch of pieces. I also describe it as it looks a little bit like a garage sale. There's a lot of rust, but it's a sturdy bike, and it's important to me to showcase that you don't need to have the most fancy equipment to go on an adventure. My panniers, which are the bags, my rear ones were made from old kitty litter buckets. And just like my bike, like I'm not some amazing athlete either. So me and my bike just proved that normal people can do this. Like, you just need to get out there and go.
The book goes into all of the people that you met along the way, and how you were offered so many things and helped in so many different ways. But let's talk about the butterflies, because that's the focus of your book as much as the people. There are so many fewer of them, and it's we hear about needing to plant milkweed, for example, in Texas. Pretend that we're one of the people you met on your bike ride, and we ask you, why are you doing this?
Well, I'm doing this to shine a spotlight on the migration, or I guess I did this, and I'm still doing it. The book is for the monarchs, too. And like you said, the most important thing that people can do is plant milkweed, which is the only food source of the monarch caterpillar. And luckily, milkweed is beautiful. I enjoyed seeing it on the side of the road. I would always, not always, but I would try to stop as much as I could and get off my bike. In fact, in Texas, I was looking at milkweed on the side of the road, and the police showed up because so many people had reported a cyclist having crashed because I was in the ditch looking at milkweed. There's lots of species of milkweed, and it really depends on where your range is and okay. Where you're living for which ones work best for you. The tropical milkweed is not native to the United States, and so it's better if you can to find the native varieties, especially the varieties that are right near your home already.
I think, too, that people are going to be surprised to hear, and I'd like for you to talk about it. When you talk about following the monarch butterfly, the ones you saw hanging from the tree in Mexico are not the ones that you saw fluttering around in Ontario in Canada.
Exactly. The monarch migration is multi-generational. So the monarchs that I left with, they died in Texas, most of them, after laying their eggs. And then their kids, the next generation, they continued the migration north. And it takes 3 to 5 generations to complete the round-trip journey. So I remember being back in Texas on my way south and seeing a monarch and looking up and thinking, oh my gosh, did I start this trip with your great-great-grandma? Like, was your mom one of the monarchs I saw in Ontario? Like, it's just such a magical and beautiful story of connection and of, wow, just natural history. I love it.
I'm kind of taking you on a helter-skelter here, but let's get back to the beginning. You're getting ready, you're gearing up for it, and you're working as a guide, as a dishwasher, as whatever you needed to do while you're in Mexico. Talk about the forest there and what's happening, because that's where we're really seeing the decimation, aren't we?
Well, Mexico is part of the story, of course. And the monarchs all gather in this small little forest in Mexico, and they cling to the branches of pine trees and oyamel fir trees. And the trees are so important to the survival of the monarchs in the winter. They act as umbrellas. The canopies act as umbrellas to shelter them from storms, as well as kind of blankets to keep them warmer in the most extreme cold nights. And so if you take away a tree, if you log a tree, then there's kind of like punching a hole in your umbrella or your blanket, and the monarchs are more vulnerable. But I think the most beautiful lesson that the monarchs offer us, or one of them, there's so many, is that the monarchs need that forest in Mexico. So they need Mexico's help. But if there's no milkweed in the United States and Canada, then it doesn't matter how perfect the forests in Mexico are. And I think we must remember that. I like to tell people, the monarchs aren't Mexican, they're not United States, and they're not Canadian, they're North American. And this is such a team effort. And without one part of the team helping, then it won't work. So we need everyone, we need every person on the monarch's range helping out.
Who needs to plant milkweed? I mean, is there an area where it's more important? Because someone might say, well, gosh, I've never even heard of milkweed. How can I help?
Like you said, the milkweed is the answer. And it doesn't just end at milkweed. The monarchs also need native nectar plants, the flowers, especially when on their fall migration. Monarchs are one of the few migrants that arrive at their destination fatter than when they started. And so their goal is to eat as much nectar, drink as much nectar as they can to get to Mexico. And they'll live off that nectar for the whole winter.
Wow.
And so if you can take some of your green grass yard that's not helping anybody, and in fact, it's just needing lots of water and fertilizer. If you can plant some native plants to get some flowers in your yard and that milkweed, you will be doing such a big service. And not just to monarchs, but to all of the animals, all of the animals on our planet that need their native home back.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I heard an interview the other day talking about all the different pollinators. Even flies are pollinators, and so just having things for them to feed off of is part of the, use the Lion King phrase, the circle of life. I mean, someone's going to hear this, and they're going to say, wait a minute, she was on a bicycle by herself for 10,000 miles? Was it safe? I mean, did you have problems? Was it always good help along the way?
I mean, I had my moments where I encountered people I wish I hadn't encountered, but I wouldn't say it was any more people than when I'm just not on a bicycle tour, when I'm just living my normal life. Mm. So, I actually think it was probably less, because when you're on a bike, you're really vulnerable, and you do need help. You need to find places where you can sleep, where you can fill up your water bottles, where you can ask for directions. And by kind of giving your trust to the people around you, they reciprocate in kind. And so I found that I could worry about that one person I might meet every few months. That's not the best, but I would rather just focus on all the good.
Sarah Dykeman, and the book is called Bicycling with Butterflies, My 10,201-Mile Journey Following the Monarch Migration. just being published, in fact, in the month of April. So it's a chance to pick it up. And in addition to the travels, you also have nonprofits that you help, right?
Yeah, it's more just a collective organization that I've kind of put together to house all of my projects. And it's called Beyond a Book at beyondabook.org. And basically the idea is to get kids excited. So on all of my trips, I try and connect to kids through presentations, through field trips, through interviews or like Skype interviews or postcards. And I want to show kids how exciting the world is and how they can be part of the solution and how they can go on a trip too. And often we think that there's only one way to be successful. And I'm there to show them that I might not have exactly a normal job, but I'm happy and doing good things in the world. Oh, the website is beyondabook.org. And I was just going to say that I presented at 49 schools and talked to about 9,000 people on my tour. And each one of those people kind of helped me tell the story of the monarch. And I imagine that then they all turn around and they tell the story of the monarch. And by the time I've talked to a few people, well, that's rippled out and lots more people know. And so I try and be the voice of the monarch. And in fact, that's even continuing. I've got lots of virtual events coming up, including one in my Texas virtual events in Austin, thanks to the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.